So we're looking at the King James Version. It says, Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 7 and verse 19. He says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. In the latter part of verse 20, it says that it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I want to talk about holding sin accountable. Holding sin accountable. We are living in a sinful world, in a sinful body. And like with certain illnesses, in certain instances, certain things can't be cured, but it can be controlled. Certain things can't be removed, but it can be reversed. And there is a such thing as holding sin accountable. You cannot control it. The curse can be reversed. But you can hold sin accountable. Sin can be held accountable. When I think about accountability, it means to bear the blame for one's actions. Accountability. When I think about not only the name of the sermon, but the aim of the sermon is for, I want to use for an aim, I'll use for the aim, don't let the devil scratch your itch. Amen. Don't let the devil scratch your itch. Accountability is important. People have to be held accountable. Where there is no accountability, sin run amok. Sin runs amok. Places have to be held accountable. Companies and institutions. But also, problems have to be held accountable. Amen. Problems have to be held accountable, especially since the source of all problems is sin. Amen. It's being dealt with because of sin. Some of our problems may come from God, but even that has to do with a problem of sin somewhere in the world. And so we talked about holding the devil accountable. We know that 1 Peter said that be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have to pay attention when it comes to the devil. We have to be alert. We have to be sober. We know that the devil is on the prowl. He walketh about. He's active. And he's looking for prey. He's looking for someone to eat. As a hungry lion, you know, he's walking about. I'm going to say he's like a lion, a hungry picture of a hungry lion. today we're looking at sin, and sin, no doubt, is worse than Satan. Although they are like a dynamic duo, they work together, but sin is what made the devil the devil. First he was Lucifer, the light bearer. But sin put out his light, and he began to rule and reign in darkness. The Bible tells us that sin is, his heart began to get uplifted in pride, and that is what led to his downfall, as well as Eve's. But as we look at that, we know that Satan is just as sin is no doubt worse than Satan, because sin not only ruined Satan, but it ruined the world. So that's why we want to deal with, we feel led to deal with this. So we know that Paul is writing, and we know that as he writes to the Romans, it's important that we understand that although we are completely saved, we are not completely changed. Our bodies have not been changed yet. We have been justified, legally declared innocent from our sin. We are sanctified, and God is working on us as we study his word and perfecting us to be more like him. But ultimately, we have been glorified, so our bodies have not been changed. And so, although we are completely saved, we're not completely changed, and because of that, that leaves us with a major problem. Paul says, the good I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And so we want to focus on three words: attain, abstain, and accountability. Amen. Attain, abstain, and accountability. It may not work out like that, but we just let the Spirit have it, and that's what I had to deal with. And so when it comes to our flesh, Paul says in verse 18 that I know that is in me, that is, he makes it in my flesh, there dwelleth no good things. And so because of sin, because of our flesh, there's a problem with attaining what is good. Paul says in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. Paul here is saying that he wants to do right, but he can't seem to attain it. He says that I want to do right. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And he's letting us know that he does what he should. He does not do what he should, and he does what he shouldn't. He wants to do right, but he does not seem to be able to attain it. says, I want to do what's right. And that's the way it is. It is unnatural to do right. Amen. We don't come into this world wanting to do right, with a desire to do right. As far as God's is concerned, when it comes to righteousness, and he says, I want to do right, and but he does not do what he should. And as we come into this world, you'll notice as persons are, even when you're dealing with children, amen, you have to teach a child to say thank you. You have to be taught, amen, to tell the truth. They have to be taught to do what's right. Amen. They have to be taught to do good. And the Bible says in Proverbs that there's something that they have to be taught. They have to be trained. It says, amen, bring up a child in a way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. But it also says, not only in Proverbs 22:6, but Proverbs 22:15, that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Sin is in the heart, and that is where the problem is. So we find Paul here struggling with trying to obey the law, and he finds out that he cannot keep the law, and these two natures, right, at a war. He says that I need some help. I need some help because in my heart of hearts, I don't know, have you ever been there where you wanted to do what was right and you discover that you're unable to do it all the time? And so what happens is you conclude and you know deep down inside, in my heart of hearts, I want to do the will of God. But this flesh, my sinful nature does not want to go along with me. I'm a saved person living in a sinful body, and I'm constantly at war. There's constantly a fight going on with me. Amen. You may want to ask, what's wrong with me? Well, it's the sinful nature that we have. Even you are displeased with you, which is an indication that you are in fact saved. But Paul says, I cannot attain what is good, but I cannot abstain from what is bad. The good I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul here is saying that it is, I don't naturally want to do what God wants me to do. But it seemed that I naturally want to do evil. It's unnatural to do good, but it is natural to do evil. And this is a situation that we must seriously get a hold of. Paul says that the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul is letting us know that I do what I shouldn't do naturally. Amen. And you don't have to be taught to do evil. It's a natural thing to do the wrong thing. Paul says, I mean, think about it. You don't have to teach a child to lie. Amen. They will do that naturally. You don't have to teach a child to get their own way. You have to be taught to do good, but you don't have to be taught to do bad. We have to be taught to do right, but we don't have to be taught to do wrong. We have to be taught to do good, but we don't have to be taught to do evil. And so Paul makes it plain that this is where the problem is. And that problem is because of our sinful nature. Paul, I'm thinking now about what the Bible says in Isaiah 14, verse 12, that he says O Lucifer, thou son of the morning. Then he goes on to talk and he says that thou that weakens the nation. Amen. You made the nations weak. And he did that by getting us to sin, and that is where we became weak in the sin department. We're weak in the sin, in our sin nature. Thou that weakens the nation. Amen. Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How did it get weak? Satan and sin. Satan, that sin, that dynamic duel that caused us to be weak toward right and wrong, strong toward wrong and weak toward right. Amen. The Bible says that, how did it happen? It says in John chapter 4, Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Got a lot on my mind. Got some things I need to take care of. I got to go real quick. The thing is that he says that in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, he says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Think about that. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not, of them who do not believe, King James. And he's saying that Satan is the God of this world. It does not mean that he is the creator of the world, but it means that he is the controller automatically, naturally, of the world. He is the one that is the ruler of darkness. God rules the kingdom of light. Remember, he was a light bearer, but God rules a kingdom of light, but he rules a kingdom of darkness. So look at all the darkness that's in the world. And so Satan is the ruler of the darkness of this world. He says he has blinded the minds of those that believe not. I'm thinking about Ephesians chapter 2, and it says that in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that ye who were dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened or made alive. Amen. Ye who were dead through trespasses and sin. And it says in verse 2, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, that you walked according Pastor Timothy pastored that church. You walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Amen. It was believed that the demonic realm of demons dwelt in the atmospheric realm around the earth, and that's what that was their abode. That's what he says, that you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the course of this world, according to the ways of this world. And it was the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. The spirit. Amen. Have you ever seen the devil? Amen. He is ruling and he is roaming around, but have you seen him? Well, you must understand that the devil always shows up in the spirit behind the people. He's working, he's controlling, he's manipulating the spirit of disobedience. He does not want to do what God wants done. And notice what he says in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, and that we are by nature the children of wrath. Amen. By nature, by our very nature. I'm thinking about David when he says that in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, I was born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. This is a terrible thing because it says that we are born sinners, and it tells us that our father is the devil if we come, because you see, we're all children of God, but we're not all God's children. Although God made us all. But he says in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees that day, and he says, ye are of your father, the devil. So the devil has kids. The devil has children. Jesus said that the Pharisees' father was the devil. Amen. Amen. The truth is that we are to recognize that the devil has kids, and they automatically belong, they automatically follow him. And that's interesting because there are 7.6 billion plus people in the world, on the planet Earth. And it says that each one of them is born with a nature that is favor the devil, a nature that is prone to follow Satan, to go after Satan. Each one is prone to follow the devil. We have automatically, when a child is born, when they come into the world, automatically they are a follower of the devil. Think about that. Immediately upon birth, they are followers of Satan. Think about that. We are living in a world where every time someone is born, they automatically are born with a nature that wants to follow the devil. They are automatically born a child in darkness. And of course, God allows us, it means that children are going to go to hell between 1 and 12 at least, because we talk about the age of accountability, and to that time, it's up to the parent to try to get their child saved and out of darkness. But think about it. Each child that is born into the world is born in darkness, is born, amen, with the devil, with the devil's itch, with an itch to do wrong, with a natural desire. Automatically, there are children that are prone to follow, that we're born, each one is born with a sinful nature. There's not a child born. Think about that. The church has a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people to get saved because they automatically come into the world with a sinful nature. That is major to me. Immediately they get here, born in sin, and immediately wanting to do wrong, wanting to obey the devil, wanting to live for the devil, wanting to love the devil, wanting what the devil wants to offer, automatically gravitated, drawn toward evil with a desire to follow someone that is bad and evil immediately upon entrance into the world. People are automatically lost and going to hell if no one turns them around. Upon their arrival, they are dead on arrival, and they are favor of what the devil wants. And as they live life, if they don't get saved, they are nothing but dead men walking. Immediately, this is what the church has to understand. People are coming here lost, automatically lost, and wanting to obey Satan instead of obeying God. It's natural. You don't have to teach them to. You don't have to tell them to. You don't have to train them to. They don't have to be tutored. They don't need a mentor. Immediately, upon arrival, people are sinners. They're not born saints. They're born sinners. Do you understand how much work we got to do as a church, as Christians? We people are in either one of two categories. They're either saved or lost. Saved or lost. One of two categories. There are no gray areas. No more than there is to being you can't be a little bit saved. You're either born, you're saved or lost. No more than you can be a little bit pregnant. We are living in a world, and I can't get off of it, but I got to follow the Spirit. Do you understand how much work we got to do? Do you understand the nature of the problem? What does this mean? When someone comes into the world, think about this. Let's make sure we got this right. Amen. They can't attain what is good, but they can't abstain from what is bad. Isn't that bad? You don't want to do right, but you want to do wrong. And you came here that way. And what does that mean? That means that sin has got our wiles crossed. Amen. Sin has got our wiles crossed. Sin has us programmed to fail. We are courting destruction the moment our eyes open as a bouncing baby boy or a bouncing baby girl. Only two categories. And we don't want to do what is right, and we do want to do what is wrong automatically, immediately, the moment we get it. And you can go down to the hospital, and that's all you want to find. All over the place. Bouncing baby sinners. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are born with an appetite that is not good for us. And we are born addicted to sin. There's an addiction. There's an attraction. There's an addiction. We're attracted to it naturally, and we are addicted to it. And sin is addictive. And Paul says, he says, I want to do right, but I can't do right. And I most people wonder about, was it Paul? This is before he got saved. No, this is after he got saved. But nobody saved hates sin. Paul is here upset with sin. Paul says, I want to do God's will, and I don't find it natural. Paul is saying that I need help. And we move from attain, we can't attain what's good. We cannot abstain from what is bad. So we, sin is just in a, so what we got to do is deal with accountability. Sin must be held accountable. Because if there were no sin, without sin, we don't have an itch that the devil can scratch. But that's what the problem is. We're itching. We're born itching. We're born wanting to do this, wanting to do wrong, wanting to go out the house, wanting to stay out late, wanting to lie, wanting to cheat, steal, and we get caught up in it. But understand the reality and the nature of our situation, the reality of our sinful nature. You have it. I have it. The world has it. And without the Holy Spirit, we may get to that. It can rule and we. So, but Paul says, I know what I need to do. Paul does not, who does he hold accountable for his sin? Who does he hold accountable for his situation? Does he blame temptation? Does he blame things? Does he try to hold things accountable? Does he try to hold temptation accountable? He doesn't even try to hold the devil accountable. Because in this verse, devil is not mentioned in this verse, in this chapter. At least in this verse, I didn't get a chance to read the whole chapter. I don't think it's mentioned in the chapter. But if you put a D on evil, it's in there. But that's a whole other subject because, but the thing is that, who does he hold accountable? Amen. It's interesting. He does not even hold himself accountable. Does he? He says that it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me.